Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. MVP Kids TV aims to be a big new player in the children's TV universe next year. Learn how when founder president Nell Sauter and group president John Semper join me next. Our kid-focused hour turns to long-running tune My Little Pony at the bottom of the hour. We'll speak with executive producer Court Lane and featured voice Jenna Warren. And then we'll spend the following half hour with TV series pilot-making winners of the 2022 Catalyst TV Festival taking place earlier this fall. Also ahead, Robert De Niro takes the TV series Plunge, a new horror excursion at Peacock, and our new, that's right, new classic trivia question. And I'm sorry, new classic trivia winner with the answer to that question. Actually, there were two. You'll hear more shortly. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker and TuneIn Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, and other leading podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Thank you all for joining us on a still rainy Friday afternoon here in the New York metro area. 43 degrees at the top of the hour here. Upstate New York getting a lot of snow, other places around the country too. We understand that that whole storm that started at the start of the week on the West Coast, it's getting out of here in a few hours, and then we'll have a nice, clear, and even though cold, a great, great weekend. And we hope you're set for this pre-Christmas weekend, too. Happy getting ready for Hanukkah to all of our Jewish listeners as well. We have a great 90 minutes for you, so stick around and be interactive with our guests. How? Pick up the phone and make a call to this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio. Don't forget, we have a chat room business for you. It's Simon Apple 04 by name, and you can use it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Speaker TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions, OTV live with you. Our duo from MVP Kids TV will join us from Chandler, Arizona, and beautiful downtown Burbank, California, after these news notes. Label Robert De Niro the latest Academy Award-winning actor to make a run in TV series stardom. De Niro has agreed to play an organized crime lord in Mr. Natural, now on a development fast track at Entertainment One. De Niro also executive produced the venture from Magic City creator Mitch Glazer. Earlier, De Niro was named a top cast member in upcoming Netflix miniseries Zero Day. His performance as Bernie Madoff in the HBO original movie Wizard of Lies sometime back earned an Emmy Award nomination. Peacock is all set to film a new thriller series from Yellowstone and Chicago Fire writer-producer Ian McCullough. The storyline, which does not have a name yet, has a diverse group of humanity assembling on a ranch to overcome a serious societal crisis. Peacock's project is inspired by the 1988 hit novel Stinger. I think that, again, that is Stinger, and is anticipated to premiere late 2023 or sometime in 2024. Motorsports media organization SpeedSport will launch a smart TV product distributed service next spring. SpeedSport One expects to offer more than 400 live events and thousands of hours of related programming annually. Former ESPN and MAV TV executive Dan Teicheid will be the venture's president and general manager. Obsessive Media, already forming smart TV and multi-channel bundle service Outdoor America, will be a content and management partner in SpeedSport One. Elsewhere on the new channel horizon, Chime TV, a service spotlighting content born by Asian Americans, is now out to premiere the week of January 9th. Top cable operator Charter Communications has pledged to give Chime nationwide coverage. The channel originally intended to launch before the end of 2022, and chief executive was on this program earlier this summer. Meantime, website JoySauce Network continues to explore a move to its own Asian American-oriented television service start during 2023. Now some quickies. Amazon is bidding for TV series adaptation rights to popular fantasy game Warhammer 40,000. If successful, Henry Cavill, you know him as Superman, and on the Netflix series The Witcher, will come on as star and executive produce the adaptation. Free Ridge, the On My Block series sequel series, makes its Netflix debut February 2nd. There's over 1 million people watched Finding Harmony, ABC's unscripted holiday special Wednesday night. You can hear our interview we did several weeks ago with the executive producer of that special, the former editor-in-chief of Cosmopolitan Magazine and the role model for the long-running freeform series The Bold Type, Joanna Coles, at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, as well as our podcast and website. And expect the Emmy Awards, which turns 75 next year, to announce primetime nominees July 12th. The the primetime Emmy ceremony, which will play live on Fox, will make a date announcement during the first half of 2023. And that is News Notes for today. And now joining me live from Chandler, Arizona, the founder and president of the new service coming out next year, MVP Kids TV, Mel Sauter. Mel, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Simon. It's good to be here.
And joining both of us as well from beautiful downtown Burbank in California, the group president and someone who has a major track record of producing outstanding animated shows from Scooby-Doo to The Jetsons, DuckTales, Alvin the Chipmunk, Tip of the Rig-Rag Dog, and many, many more, John Semper. John, thanks for coming on.
Hey, it's my pleasure. My pleasure, Simon. It's great to be here.
Now, what is your venture out to do?
Our venture as MVP Kids is out to just provide great entertainment for kids to help raise real MVPs. That's basically the mission of our company. And through television, it's just that John is a great storyteller, and we're just creating new ideas for television that will entertain and have fun, and kids will be able to learn through having fun and laughing.
And how do you define a most valuable player kid?
I would guess the best definition was in 2001 at the World Series, Randy Johnson and Curtis Schilling won the co-MVP awards, and they're being interviewed in front of the smoldering Twin Towers, and the interviewer is asking these narcissistic questions about how important they are, and Curt Schilling just looked at her and said, "Ma'am, I make a lot of money by throwing a baseball well, but the real MVPs are the men and women that ran in those buildings to save other people's lives. So we're just trying to help parents and educators raise great real MVPs."
Mm-hmm. John, as someone who has had a great track record in animated series over the years, in fact, probably over a decade or two, what do you see as the gap that this venture is out to fill in the children's TV arena?
Well, I don't know that we're filling a gap. I think what we're going to try to do is provide really, really good entertainment, which there is always room for. And we're also going to try to raise some really wonderful kids into, you know, turning into really wonderful adults. I've been at this actually for four decades. And I've been at this long enough, writing children's television, producing children's television, I've been at this long enough that there are now 30-year-old men and women who walk up to me and explain to me what they learned about life through the various shows that I've done. So I know for a fact that this really does work. This entertainment thing, this children's entertainment thing, really does work when it comes to raising great people. And I want to live in a world that's filled with really great people. I want to live in a world that's filled with intelligent people who make good choices. I want to live in a world of people who appreciate the other people around them. And this is my opportunity. This is our opportunity to create that world. So that's really what we're doing here. And that's really what MVP Kids is all about.
Mm-hmm. Is the plan to do both animation and live action programming, or are you just going to stay in the Toon world?
I don't really know how much animation we're going to do. Right now, we're actually working with puppets. The first show that we're developing harkens back to my time working with a fellow by the name of Jim Henson. I did the animated Fraggle Rock for NBC. And then I also was one of the creators of a thing called Dog City. And one of the things that I really loved back in those days, well, first of all, it was great fun working with one of my heroes, and it was exciting. But one of the things I loved was seeing how far you could go storytelling with really excellent puppetry. It's just a great way to engage kids. It has very long-lasting appeal, as you know. I mean, we're still looking at Kermit and Miss Piggy and having a really wonderful time with the stories that they're in. So the first thing we're doing is a thing called Howland and Wyland. That's the intersection of two streets, Howland Street and Wyland Avenue. And this is where kids gather on the corner and have all kinds of interesting adventures with one another, and it's all done with puppets. And we've got some really talented people that we've assembled to work on that. So right off the bat, we're working with puppets, and I'm very excited about that because I think that puppetry is a great way to engage kids.
We are talking about MVP Kids TV, an organization that is out to be a brand new and great player in the world of children's television and family television starting next year and going way, way beyond. You are hearing the founder and president of the venture, Mel Sauter. He joins us live from Chandler, Arizona. And from Burbank, California, in the L.A. area, we've got group president John Semper, who has a great, amazing track record in the world of KidVid and animated KidVid, to be sure. And both of them are joining us live this half hour right here this Friday afternoon on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom and I'm with you from the other side of the U.S. of A. That is New York, 42 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment for our guests, make that call, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. On pre-Christmas week next week, we with you three times at least, Monday, Thursday, Friday, all at our regular time. And coming your way on Monday, one of the best TV critics in the country will join us. He happens to be the critic for Media Village. That's the organization that I write for as well. Great media leadership website. Ed Martin will join us. He's also involved in the Critics' Choice Association, whose annual awards will be taking place next month on the CW. Ed came out on Media Village early this week with his top 25 programs of the year. We'll talk about that list, some very interesting choices, some naturals as well, and we'll get his thoughts also about the TV year overall and maybe some clues into what he thinks 2023 TV will be all about. That will be coming up during our first hour. And in our final half hour of this 90-minute episode, Hulu has just launched an original movie called Darby and the Dead about a woman who has a near-death experience, and she ends up not only seeing ghosts, but playing Dr. Phil to them. We'll have the producer, Adam Saunders, with us. That's all coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Mel, some very interesting people in the kid TV world seem to like what you're doing and suggesting because you've got already quite a few people aboard, including one of the great cartoon makers, Jim Jenkins of Doug fame.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, we have John and we also have Jim Jenkins, and we also have Jim Castle, a five-time Emmy Award winner. They're all involved in our TV team.
How do you see the game plan for your venture evolving? My understanding is you're going to start with individual series, and you're going to try to sell them to different players, whether it's broadcast, cable networks, the mega content services. Is that the way it's pretty much going to go, or do you see at some point turning this into a specific programming service that you make available in some fashion?
John, do you want to take
that?
We're
kind of putting our plan together, and there are a lot of options. One of the options, obviously, is to create great entertainment, tell good stories, and then go out and try to sell what we've got to suppliers. But we've also talked about starting our own channels somewhere down the line. Obviously a YouTube channel is an easy thing for us to do, but possibly even a streaming channel down the line. It really depends on what our funding situation ends up being, and always what motivates us to do what we can do to deliver the best quality. I'm a big believer in the fact that quality is ultimately the saving grace of any piece of entertainment. I can remember the struggles that I went through when I was doing a series called Spider-Man, the Animated Series. And I really insisted at that time, I was the showrunner, and I insisted that, yeah, it was a show for kids, and obviously we needed to appeal to them, but we also really needed to have a strong enough quality to appeal to Spider-Man fans in general. And I'm proud to say that, we're almost 30 years later, the show is just as popular as it was when it was the number one show on children's television back in the day. So whatever we do, we're always going to be focused on telling quality stories and having really excellent characters. It's really funny. You mentioned that you're going to be talking later to the people who are currently doing the new My Little Pony show. My career as a showrunner started with My Little Pony, which was at that time produced by a company called Marvel Productions. Excuse me. And it was during that period of time when I was working on one of the cartoons that was part of the My Little Pony show. It was during that period of time that I met Stan Lee, because Stan had an office in our building, and that's when he and I bonded. And then 10 years later, we got together and did Spider-Man. But, you know, My Little Pony is a perfect example. It's a strong concept. It's always been handled really well, going all the way back to the 80s when we were doing it. And it's still alive today. It's still a franchise that's burgeoning today. And if you can really just get a quality franchise like that going, the sky's the limit. And so that's our main goal right now, is to just create really great entertainment.
Talk more about Howlin' and Weiland and the use of puppetry in the show. You know, throughout television history, we've had a great timeline of programs involving puppets, like Kukla, Fran, and Ollie, and Time for Beanie, the predecessor of Beanie and Cecil that Bob Clampett did in the 1950s and the 60s, the cartoon version, as well as The Muppets, Sesame Street, of course, Fraggle Rock, which, of course, had the revival that started this year on Apple TV+, and is going into a second season next year. What kind of mindset is the puppetry going to be on this series? Is it going to be more leaning toward Henson, more maybe sort of a tribute to the classic puppetry like a Kukla, Fran, and Ollie?
Well, it's funny. It would probably lean the most toward Henson. The thing that Jim did that I always loved, and I think that he recognized that I recognized it, and that's one of the reasons why he and I got along so well, was that he never sacrificed humor while creating children's entertainment. So the humor quotient was very strong. And whether it's Fraggle Rock or whether it's The Muppet Show, any of those kinds of things, the comedy was really just. And what we're trying to do with Howlin' and Weiland is we're trying to bring that back. A lot of children's programming for very young kids gets watered down to the point where it can only entertain very young kids. And that's fine. You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But the thing that I always loved about Jim's work was that it had a little bit of a comedic edge, no matter what it was. There was always something for the kids, but there was also something for the adults. And the characters were very well delineated. I, many years ago, studied comedy writing under Danny Simon. Danny Simon was Neil Simon's brother and was credited as being the one that taught Neil Simon how to write. And Danny was a real master of comedy. And one of the simple lessons that he taught us was that if you have strong personalities, that's where all the comedy comes from. So it's not jokes per se. And, you know, I mean, it's really not slapstick per se. It's the personalities that are involved. So what we've done with Howlin' and Weiland is we've revolved it around very strong personalities. And each of the kids is unique in their own way and interacts with the other kids in a way that creates a lot of interesting conflicts and comedic situations. And the real secret sauce behind Howlin' and Weiland is that ultimately the show is about resolving conflict, which is something that I think kids today really need to start learning. If you look at the world around us, you can see where people do not know how to resolve their conflicts. They don't know how to get along. And so this show is going to very directly hit the nail on the head of conflict resolution, and not in a namby-pamby way. It's going to do it in a very, very funny, very edgy kind of a way, and hopefully kids will start to understand better just how to interact with one another. Our pilot episode deals with bullying, and which is really, when you think about it, it's one of the toughest stories you can do for kids, because it's hard to tell them what to do if they're being bullied. In our story, we get into the head of a bully, and we show them how weak you have to be in the first place in order to be a bully. And we show it to them in a very comedic way. So that's really what we're doing with Howlin' and Weiland. I hope that answers your question.
Certainly does, John. And do we know yet what Jim Jenkins is going to do, as well as somebody else that is going to be working with you, the Emmy Award-winning producer and animation designer, Jim Castle?
Yeah, we've got a number of really great properties that we're developing. Both of the gyms are working in different properties. Jim Jenkins has got an interesting camp concept that we're excited about, called the Blue Ghost Mysteries. So it's obviously a mystery, and again, strong characters and really good comedy. And Jim Castle currently working on something that we call the MVP Kids Storybooks, where we are taking some of the material that Mel had already created for the educational side of MVP Kids. And there is a whole series of books, and there's a whole series of curricula. We're taking those and we're turning them into very entertaining short stories that will, again, teach interesting lessons. One of the ones that I enjoy is called The Anger Dragon. I wrote it. And I tend to always enjoy the things that I do. It's about a kid who realizes that he has a temper problem. He has a temper issue. And he learns in a very kid-like way about anger management. And then we have another story called Keon's Monsters, where a young kid understands better how to share. And he understands, again, all of these, the underpinning of all of these is how to best get along with the people around you. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that we're starting off with. We've got two animated cartoons that we've done, and we've got a bunch of concepts, a bunch of really strong concepts. I've had the pleasure of working with three titans of the industry, Jim Henson, Stan Lee, and I did a project for George Lucas. And the great thing about all three of them, the thing that they all have in common, was that they had a great respect for the creative process, and they had a great respect for creators. And from my point of view, the wonderful thing was they never micromanaged. They always gave creators a wide field to run in and then left them alone. And one of the things that I'm enjoying about working with Mel is that Mel has given me a wide field to play around in. And I think creators flourish in that kind of environment and that kind of ecosystem. So I'm having a wonderful time, and I hope that when this material gets out there into the world, everybody who sees it will also enjoy it.
MVP Kids TV is our subject of this opening half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised on this Friday afternoon. We're talking with the founder and president, Mel Sauter, and the group president, John Semper. They're joining us respectively from Chandler, Arizona, and very beautiful downtown Burbank, California, in L.A., this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Happy you're along for the ride as well. We're just getting started. Simon Abbon with you live from New Haven, York. And if you have a question or comment, many minutes with our two gentlemen, give us a call, 646-652-2906. Or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up on our final week of Tomorrow Be Televised this year, we'll be on Monday and Friday. And on Monday, December 26th, one of our features will be our annual tribute to the people in front of and behind the TV camera who passed away this year. Tomorrow Be Televised remembers, and I promise you it's going to be very special. A lot of incredible people died this year, both in front of and behind the camera. And we will honor each and every one of them as much as possible. In the course of that segment. And on our final episode, we'll look ahead to 2023. There's some very exciting things on the horizon, including maybe it could be the breakout year for interactive television, spectacular January ahead. CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, is the first full week of January, so we'll get into that and a whole lot more. That's next Monday, next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Mel, you are getting involved with Smart Engine. That is the financial service agency that was put together, equity crowdfunding agency by Kevin Leary, the Shark Tank Shark, CNBC contributor. He just started Money Court with one of his colleagues earlier this month on CNBC. And you're one of the very few television ventures that up until this point Smart Engine is getting involved with. What is the purpose of that association, and how is it going?
Well, the purpose of Smart Engine is to raise capital, as John was talking about. We need capital to be able to produce shows. And Smart Engine is taking advantage of an opportunity that's relatively new called a Regulation CF, or a Regulation Crowdfunding, way to raise capital by allowing really any investor. Aunt Susie or Uncle Jim could invest in a small company like ours, which has never been available before. You always had to either be an accredited investor to start out earlier or wait until it gets on the stock exchange. So Regulation CF allows people to invest in a company like ours from $100 or more and just be able to be part of what we do. And we need capital, and crowdfunding is a great way to raise capital.
And what does it say, Mel, about the fact that you and Legion M, another venture that we have covered in recent years that is doing film and television, that both of you are so far as I know, I've checked out Smart Ventures' website, I believe the only two television ventures that are being represented by them?
I would only say that most likely most television ventures are funded by large studios and by wealthier, sophisticated investors, so they go through a different type of raising capital. We're very independent, and we're not only for the child to help raise real MVP kids and the parents to help them, but we're for everyday people, and this gives us a chance for everybody to get involved. We need an army of people to really take advantage of. I'll just say John is the most creative writer I've ever met, and that goes from very young into teens and all kids, as you've seen in adult stuff also. But he is amazing, and we just have so many great ideas, but it takes capital. So we need an army of people to get behind us, and that's why we're going through StartEngine.
Yeah.
I understand you have a YouTube channel, or will have a YouTube channel. Do you see that as an incubator to bring these projects to life on television and other ways?
Yeah, we're living in a wonderful wild frontier. I was going to say I didn't realize that we were TV pioneers on StartEngine, so that's kind of cool. I've learned something just from being on your show today, Simon. It's a wild, crazy time going on out there right now, and I think that as they say. There's chaos and then there's opportunity. And YouTube is a wonderful leveler, in the world of kids, there's some ridiculously high statistic of kids that are watching things on YouTube now. And I'm not even sure that even the streamers have the same amount of influence that YouTube does when it comes to kids' TV. I find that really exciting. I've lived in the world of network TV for so long, getting very strict network notes and broadcast standards and practices notes, and all that's out the window when you're doing something for YouTube to a certain extent. They do have their standards for kids, but it's just a whole different world, and I think that's exciting. So we are going to explore being on YouTube because it is such an important place now for kids programming. But we're going to look at everything. We're going to look at streaming. We're going to look at any delivery system that will get our programs in front of kids' eyes. And, it's changing. It seems to be changing almost every day, the new technologies and the new ways of delivering entertainment. So who knows what it's going to be 2, 3, 4 years from now. It's an exciting time. I'm a big technology geek. I would be going to CES if I weren't right now so paranoid about COVID. But I'm a big technology geek, and I think that the kinds of things that are happening with technology now are just so exciting. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
And before we leave both of you, we should point out two things. One is that YouTube is being seen more and more on by viewers through smart TV sets and smart TV devices and multi-channel bundles. And secondly, there is a possible movement toward interactive television, especially interactive kid bit. Netflix has done some experimental episodes of some of their animated shows interactively, and there could be a whole lot more. And we'll see if CES brings some of those projects to light. If you want to know more about MVP Kids, here's where you go online, www.mvpkids.com. That's www.mvpkids.com. We will obviously watch the situation, and when they're getting ready to have their first show on the air somewhere, we will bring both Mel and John back, and the executive producer of that series back, And or if the YouTube channel happens, we will do the same. And we will definitely, either way, keep you posted. Mel Sauter, John Semper, thank you both very, very much for coming on. Good luck with this venture. It looks like it's going to be a big one to watch in 2023 and beyond.
Simon, thank you so much for your support. We greatly appreciate that.
You're very, very welcome. To both of you, a very, very happy holiday season and a superb new year ahead.
And to you.
Same to you. Take care.
Mel Sauter and John Semper joining us live from Chandler, Arizona and Burbank, California, respectively. Coming up in our next half hour, we will have our brand new classic trivia winner and the answer to the question we have posed all week long. But first, we will turn the spotlight to one of the longest-running tune series around, My Little Pony. The current group of episodes is now running on Netflix, and you will hear from executive producer Cord Lane and one of the featured voices, Jenna Warren. She plays Sunny. And they'll both be joining us live from Los Angeles and Toronto, respectively, after we pause, just after the bottom of the hour, for web identification. This is the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, together reaching over 75 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out the Christmas Movie Spotlight today at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Blog Talk Radio. That's the Christmas Movie Spotlight, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific today on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, Best VTR 24/7 on YouTube, which, as I said, is now more and more available on smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles near you. Welcome back to the second half hour of this 90-minute edition on a Friday afternoon of Tawabi Televised. It's still wet here in the New York metro area. Simon Albini live from New York, 42 degrees at the bottom of the hour. And if you have a question or comments for our guests in the hour ahead, give us a call. 646-652-2906 is that number you use, or you use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Well, in our first half hour, we gave you a hint at a possible future for children's television. Now we're going to turn the focus on one of the longest-running tune series in TV's existence, My Little Pony. As you heard from John Semper, it started out as a daily syndicated series. Marvel Productions was part of that package, and it originally ran in syndication for several seasons. Then in the 1990s, it was picked up in a brand new series called Friendship is Magic that ran for a long time on first The Hub and then Discovery Family. This year, Netflix put together a whole new version of the series, both visual episodes and special. The latest special is called My Little Pony Winter Wish Day, and it premiered on November 21st. Joining us live from Los Angeles, California, the executive producer of the new My Little Pony series, Cord Lane. Cord, thank you for being here. Let's see. Hang on for a second. There we go. Cort, how are you?
I'm doing great. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we hear you now, and also getting to be heard a moment from now. From Toronto, Canada, the person who plays Sunny, one of the featured voice characters on My Little Pony, Jenna Warren. Hi, Jenna.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me.
Pleasure to have you and both of you aboard. And Cort, we'll start with you. What has it been like this past year to actually, the previous year too, to put together this new My Little Pony series for Netflix?
It's been a blast. It's been a really joyful experience working in Equestria with the ponies. Very different. I spent 12 years previously at Marvel doing the superhero stuff. So like a previous guest, I have the Marvel and the pony experience.
Did you have...
We have so much fun. We have such a talented voice cast. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Oh, no, to say, Jenna and our very talented voice cast, which are mostly based out of Toronto, bring the characters to life. And it's a really meaningful story about how cultures, different cultures come together, the different races of ponies who've been divided by mistrust and misinformation over many generations are finally coming together, and that brings magic back and joy, and that really affects their holiday season in this particular episode because they've never known about each other's holiday traditions.
Why do you think this series, in one form or another, whether it's been in broadcast syndication or on cable through the Hub or Discovery Family or now on Netflix on a mega content service, why do you think this series has had the long run it's had, and how does your version sort of compare both similarly and differently from the others?
So this is the fifth generation of My Little Pony, and each one has a bit of its own flavor. But I think the running theme through all of them is the value of friendship, how friendship makes us better, how friendships make the world better, how to make friends, which developmentally for the kids watching, especially young girls, is something that they're just figuring out as they move past the world of the family and develop into creating their own relationships in the world. They value friendship. They figure out how to make friends. So My Little Pony has always been about the theme of friendship, how characters with differences and different attributes can connect with each other, and how the love of friendship makes you better. This show sort of amplifies that message and goes across different cultures. So how cultures who've been alienated from each other can come together in friendship in a bigger way. And so our six main characters and Sunny, the character Jenna plays, really takes the lead in bringing them together so that a unification of friendship across these three cultures brings magic back to Equestria and really drives a lot of wonderful stories.
Mm-hmm. And Jenna, how did you get involved in the series? How did you see Sunny when you first took on the role? And as you've done the role with your voice, how has it evolved over the course of these episodes?
Yeah, well, when I first saw sort of the breakdown for Sunny, instantly I felt honored to even be considered to audition for it. And then once I booked the part, I was like, oh, my goodness. Okay, it's go time. Sunny holds such an empowering she's such an empowering pony, and without her, she's sort of the glue that you know, keeps all the ponies together and really finds that even though everyone is different, that is almost the best way to have friends and to make friends is, you know, everyone is different in their own way, and that brings out the best in other people. When I first was going through the audition process, Court was really wonderful, guiding me along the way through the callback sessions, and together we sort of created the voice for Sunny, which really stems from a place of passion and genuine curiosity for others and bringing people together. And that's something that was really important to me. And Sunny's a very well-rounded character as well. She's not like, you know, the one-dimensional sort of lead. She embodies a lot of wonderful characteristics, and I'm so thrilled and honored that I'm able to play such a wonderful, wonderful, important character.
Had you done voice work in cartoons or other children's programs before, either children or adult programs before? And if not, what was the experience like compared to other acting roles?
Yes, so I've been in this industry for quite some time. I got my first voiceover role at the age of 10. But I've never landed a role to the extent that is My Little Pony and the franchise that comes with it. And it's been around for almost 40 years. And there was a lot of weight to come with that. You know, I knew that I was going to be a part of this huge, huge project that has so many fans for years and years and years. And I thought it was a joke at first. I was like, me? Really? Me? Jenna? Like, Jenna from my little hometown? And so it's been a very surreal experience for sure to be such part of such a legendary series.
And what was your role at age 10?
I played Olive in Just in Time. It was the first cartoon series I ever did. Dee Shipley was the voice director on that, directed by Harold Harris, and they saw something in me at 10 years old, and I'll thank them every day for the rest of my life for seeing that spark in me way back then. And if it wasn't for them, I definitely would not be here speaking with you today. So I will thank them forever for seeing that in me.
My Little Pony, one of the longest tune franchises in television existence, now playing on Netflix with original episodes. The latest original episode is a holiday special, Winter Wish Day, which starred on Netflix on November 21st with Jenna Warren in one of the key voice roles as Sunny. Some of the other voice characters are Zip by Metrillion. I can't get the last name. I apologize in advance if I mispronounce it. Ramakrishnan. We also have J.J. Garber as Hitch. Anna Sari as Izzy, A.J. Bridell as Flop, Rob Finker as Spanky, Ellen Ray Hennessy as Grandma Piggy, Amanda Martinez as Queen Haven, and Alpha Biddle voiced by Andrew Jackson. And we are speaking with executive producer Court Lane and one of the featured voices I mentioned earlier, Jenna Warren. Court is in Los Angeles, Jenna in Toronto, Canada, and they're both with us live this half hour here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Abbott, I'm with you live from New Web. You are great to have you with us. Want to welcome the Canasonic One into our chat room. If you have a question or comment, put in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. Coming up Monday on Tomorrow Will Be Televised, we'll have another 90-minute edition for you. One of the top TV critics in the land, Ed Martin from Media Village, the great media leadership website, which yours truly also writes for, will be with us. We'll discuss his top 25 series of the year, which came out on Media Village the last couple of days. And we'll also get his thoughts about the TV year 2022 and where things might go next year. Plus, from the new Hulu movie, Darby and the Dead, producer Adam Saunders, and maybe another guest as well. It's all coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Court, when you put together a series like this and you're building on the history of My Little Pony, how do you put it together? What kind of writer's room or animation room do you put together? What's sort of the modus operandi to sort of give this version of My Little Pony its own identity, its own charm?
Well, I should mention there was a feature film released September of last year on Netflix that we followed up on, but expanded the world and the cast and recast all the roles for the purposes of the series. You know, it's a really interesting production. We have an animation studio in Vancouver, a production team and recording team in Toronto, and the cast is mostly from Toronto. And then me and the writers are based in Los Angeles. We did all of this during lockdown, and it was a really challenging, interesting experience. Some things take a lot longer doing them remotely, but we wanted to make sure everybody was safe, so we had certain protocols in place. But at the end of the day, you're working with people who really want to build a world with a positive message, with characters that are aspirational with some flaws. We plan character development over multiple years, so each story tells a step along that path for each character. And, you know, I think Jenna's role of Sunny was the most challenging to cast because we needed somebody who could be incredibly sweet and positive. The character's attribute is hope. Each of our characters has sort of their own thing, but not saccharine, not too perfect, in a way that was still relatable. And so she embodies the themes of unity and hope and friendship and kindness that we want to get across in every story.
Mm-hmm. And Jenna, when you were voicing the character, did you have to be by yourself or were you able to work in the same studio with other cast members?
It was quite the journey. When I first joined the show, I had no idea who the other cast members were because COVID was, you know, still very much, it still very much is prominent, but, you know, a year ago it was pretty scary. So oftentimes I would go into the studio by myself and do the records like that. And then eventually we were able to sort of all be separated from wherever the other cast members were. And I could hear them in my headphones, but I couldn't see them. But that wasn't until a few episodes in. So at the start, it was me sort of imagining, you know, what everyone sounds like and the pace of the show and everything. And then as sort of the year progressed and the restrictions sort of got lighter and lighter, we were able to do some ensemble records, not with the full cast. I worked very closely with AJ, who plays Pip. And then I did one session with Maitreyi, and then I never was in the booth with JJ or Anna. They were always in my headphones, but it was definitely a mix of a lot of different recording sessions.
Mm-hmm. Court, what kind of guidance, what kind of support has Netflix given as the new backer, if you will, of My Little Pony?
So they do an excellent job of featuring us on the platform. You know, they really care about supporting big franchises because they realize they are a draw to the platform and positioning us in the right way and also giving us information back, you know, to the extent that they're comfortable with it, you know, helping us figure out, like, which characters are people clicking on the most when they click into the show and what group listings they're looking at. And so we're even able to tailor our episode planning and our marketing and promotion based on what we know is working. But, you know, they're the best place to be for girls in animation, and so we're very happy.
What is the animation style, by the way? Is it cell animation? Is it computer generated? Is it stop motion like? What is the animation technique? And given the coronavirus situation to deal with, how is that impacted in terms of making the animation work?
I'll start with the coronavirus stuff because it was really difficult. People had to work much longer hours. We had to deal with COVID running through the crew of the voice cast about a year ago that caused delays. You know, recording a cast together in a room, which I've done for 20 years, takes about 4 hours, and that's a standard recording session in animation. But for us, it takes 9 hours to get through the cast since they're recording safely and individually. And so there's a lot of impacts, but it's a gorgeous, high-end CG series with every fiber of fur on their bodies and strand of mane and tail beautifully rendered and lit. So it's a very complicated show to produce. The level of animation quality is definitely elevated from what we've done before because we knew after four generations we needed to stand out, and so delivering feature-quality animation was a target for us.
We are speaking with the folks behind the new version of My Little Pony. It's been running starting early this year on Netflix, both individual episodes as well as a special extended episodes as well. They call them holiday or regular specials. The latest one being Winter Wish Day, which started on November 21st on Netflix, available on smart TV sets, devices, as well as multi-channel bones, and in some cases through your local cable system. We're speaking with executive producer Court Lane and one of the featured people in the program by voice, Jenna Warren. Court joins us from Los Angeles, California, IA, and Jenna from Toronto this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Summer Up, I'm with you live from New York. Want to hear from you, so give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We have a couple of people already in the room, so get your thoughts in. Sooner you do, sooner we will hear from you. Coming up before the top of the hour, we will have our classic trivia segment. We have a brand new winner. We'll give you the answer to the question we've been posing over the last week. And we'll tell you what prizes our winner will win. And then after the top of the hour, a segment we have wanted to do for some time, we'll bring you some of the TV series pilot winners of the recent Catalyst TV Festival in Duluth, Minnesota, one of the largest TV festivals of its kind in the United States. And you'll hear at least three or four of those folks in the course of our next half hour. So stay tuned for that. And if you have a question or comment in our remaining minutes with our guest, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Court, how did you get into the animation field, and who are some of your animation role models or series role models?
So I started out working on Barbie, and there was a gentleman there, Rob Hudnut, who's produced a ton of Barbie movies and other shows of all stripes for kids, and he was my mentor at Mattel. Then I moved over to Marvel, where Eric Rollman was the producer and executive who I work for and also a big role model. I did get to work a lot with Stan Lee 50 times over the course of my work with Marvel, and I learned a lot from him about storytelling and character development. And then being able to work on contract on My Little Pony led to a full-time position on staff as an executive. But that's my trajectory, the very short version, because I have several dozen credits, superhero and preschool and girls.
Mm-hmm. And Jenna, do you have any role models as a voiceover artist or voiceover performer?
Oh my goodness, so many. Even just the rest of the cast themselves in the current generation, they're amazing. I've never like worked with such incredible talent on all scales before, from you know different voices to the singing as well. But honestly, Tara Strong, who played Twilight Sparkle in the previous generation, I grew up watching almost every animation series that she was a part of. So that was like really a full circle moment for me to then join this cast. And I watched My Little Pony when I was younger as well. So very, very surreal again to be a part of this. But yeah, I would definitely say, Anna Sani is incredibly hilarious. She hits every beat, and if a beat doesn't exist, she makes it happen. Her ad lib is hilarious. We often have to, you know, take a step back from the mics because she just makes us laugh so much every single session.
Now that it looks like the coronavirus pandemic is no longer a pandemic, it's an endemic, what do you see as the future of My Little Pony on Netflix? What are you looking at in terms of new episodes next year?
Well, I'm not supposed to give too much away, but there's a lot of great stuff for Jenna's character, Sunny, who continues on her trajectory of developing her alicorn powers, which allows her to sort of be a role model to all the ponies in Equestria. We have some little surprises up our sleeve for the 40th anniversary, which is next year. I know our PR people won't like me to give anything away about those, but a lot of exciting things happening in Equestria next year, throughout the year, specials and episodes, a lot of content, of course, our YouTube content, our podcasts. There's a ton coming for fans.
Are you looking at any musical episodes? And Jenna, would you and the rest of the cast like to do a musical episode or several?
I can confidently say that we would love to. Being in the booth with, the incredible musicians who are writing and producing the music for the show has been so much fun so far. I used to be intimidated by, singing sessions, but honestly, it has been so much fun. It's so fun to hear the songs come out. And I think that it would be just so, that would be amazing to just have one episode dedicated to, full song, because we've had so much fun, this far recording the songs that we've been able to.
Yeah, with your wish
day,
three songs.
One of the things I love, I'm a big Toon fan, is the original music that is often done for television shows. And I think that the really good cartoons use really good original music. I always think about Rugrats and what Mark Mothersbaugh did for that show. Along with Dennis Hannigan and other people involved. I mean, they created in their music a whole imaginative world that the characters get into. How do you deal with original music? Who does it, and what kind of guidelines do they get in terms of the kind of scores they do?
So we do a lot of music. In fact, Winter Wish Day has three songs. It's been really fun and sweet to watch Jenna get more comfortable with singing and get pretty good at it over the course of the last couple of years producing the show. We work with a company called The Wilders in Toronto, and they're sort of a collective of composers and writers, and also can reach out to composers and writers not within their network. So when we have a concept for a song, we write a brief, and then The Wilders, specifically Jody Calero on that team, who's really talented and runs the show, will reach out to a bunch of composers for demos. So we don't just go out to one composer or writer. We get a bunch of demos. We don't use all of them. Obviously, one will work for that song, but each of those writers and composers gets another shot, and sometimes we save a song for another story.
Mm-hmm. Do you think we'll ever see the My Little Pony Christmas special or the My Little Pony holiday deal?
Well, Winter Wish Day really is our holiday special. We don't call it specifically Christmas or even holiday because in this world of Equestria, each of our pony kinds, Pegasi, unicorns, and earth ponies, have different holiday traditions. So it's really meant to be sort of a metaphor for the kind of holiday traditions that exist within our world. That's really our holiday statement for this year. And I think we're exploring other things for specials moving forward.
And there you go. My Little Pony will be going into its second season next year on Netflix. In the meantime, catch the first of these episodes now at Netflix and find out more details about them on Netflix.com. That's Netflix.com. And, of course, you can catch the program and the various specials, including the latest, Winter Wish Day, on Netflix, available on smart TV sets, smart devices, multi-channel bundles, and in some cases, through your local cable operator. Once again, for all details, go to Netflix.com. Court Lane, Jenna Warren, thank you both very much for coming on. Congratulations on a great first year with My Little Pony, your version, and hopefully many, many more to come. And from all of us here, have a wonderful holiday season and a superb year ahead.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Jenna.
Good to hear
you, Court. Thank you, Jenna. Take care. All the greatest.
I know.
All right.
Thank you. Happy
Bye.
Holidays.
Court Lane and Jenna Warren joining us live from Los Angeles and Toronto, respectively. Now time for our classic trivia segment, and we're happy to tell you that we have a brand new winner. His name is Seth Haberman. We don't have yet his mailing address, or at least the city and state, but we'll get that to you hopefully on Monday's show. But Seth, you are our latest winner, our third winner in 5 weeks. Congratulations. You've got three prizes coming your way. We've got the Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band Live in New York City concert, CD, the Selena soundtrack, and the brand new best-selling book by our recent guest, Sheldon Epps, a prolific TV and theater director, My Own Directions. The question we posed at the top of the week was this. Name one of two television series, 1970s TV series, starring Glenn Ford. Name one of two 1970s television series starring Glenn Ford. The two answers, first, there was Cays County. That's the Western drama, also starring Edgar Buchanan. It ran for a season on CBS. And then a year or two later, The Family Holdback, which was based on the made-for-TV movie The Greatest Gift. Co-star was Julie Harris, also starring Lance Kerwin before he did James at 15, James at 16 for NBC. And that ran half a season there, produced by Universal. And Holdback was the answer that Seth Haven gave us. So, Seth, congratulations. Your prize will be coming your way as soon as possible next week, and we thank you for playing. We'll have a brand-new classic trivia question for you on Monday's episode, and if you know the answer, when you hear it, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from, and if you're first with the correct answer, you will win the prize we have in store for you, either a prize or maybe two prizes. Well, by the way, one of the prizes will be another copy of My Own Directions by Sheldon F., so that will be up for you on Monday. So once again, be with us on Monday for our new classic trivia question of the week. Let's see if we can get our second weekly winner in a row and our fourth in 6 weeks. It can happen, but only if you get involved. So when you hear the question on Monday, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and your mailing address. And if you're first with the correct answer, you win. And if we don't get a winner by the end of Monday, we will post the question Tuesday morning on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in. So do so. And of course, all the very best this upcoming week and, of course, weekend. Simon Applebaum with you here on Tomorrow Be Televised. We have a great group of guests coming away in the half hour ahead. The people from Catalyst, the TV festival that's held every year in Duluth, Minnesota. It's a segment we were supposed to have last month, but because of a crazy technical snafu, we couldn't do it, but we will today. We have, I believe, three or four of the TV series pilot winners that won at the most recent festival earlier this fall, and they will be with us in our next half hour. If you have a question or comment for them, ring it in at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Remember, that number is good anywhere. You're catching us across the country, around the globe. We're on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, or use our chat room. Got a couple of people in the room already, so join them and get your thoughts in there. Again, it's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Remember, if you came in late on the program, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, and we have a lot of great ones, not just for this month, but throughout 2022, go to the homepage anytime you like. It's SimonApple04 at blogtalkradio.com/televised. Simon, blogtalkradio.com, that's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And remember, you can also check us out anytime you like this weekend on podcast. We're always available 24-7 on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Acast, Podvine.com, and many, many other great podcast sites, as well as our own website, tomorrowbetelevised.onpodium.com. That's tomorrowbetelevised.onpodium.com. When we come back, the gang from the Catalyst TV Festival, all TV series pilot winners, will be with us, and we'll find out about their future in the world of television as well. And that will happen after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, Spreaker.com, and TuneIn.com, together reaching over 75 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget, Blog Talk Radio is your home for football weekend. Comes your way tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. Eastern, 8:30 a.m. Pacific. Get your early fill of what's going on with the National Football League and all the college football bowl game action, which started earlier today with the Bahamas Bowl with UAB versus Miami of Ohio, both 6-6 teams. By the way, on our show maybe on Monday, I'll have a thought about the bowl season whether or not some things can be done to make it a whole lot better than it is right now. In my opinion, far too many bowl games, 40 on ESPN alone, and far too many teams that don't belong in a bowl game in a bowl game, like UAB and Miami of Ohio, whose game ended a short time ago. The Bahamas Bowl, which looked like it was played before a half, maybe more than half, empty stadium. Football weekend tomorrow, 11:30 a.m. Eastern, 8:30 a.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, Best BTR is always available 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our final half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised, and welcome to all of you just joining us at the top of the hour. Simon Alvin with you live from New York, still quite rainy and snowy if you're in the upstate New York area and in Connecticut as well. 42 degrees at the top of the hour. We have some wonderful guests coming away over the course of the next 30 minutes, so be involved with them. Give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. Or you can use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We have a couple of people already in the room, so put your thoughts there. It's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook icon. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions, other people will be live with you. It is our pleasure throughout every calendar year to cover the leading TV festivals around the nation, like Series Fest in Denver, ATX in Austin, Texas, ATV in Atlanta, Georgia, where the New York Television Festival is around, which hasn't been the last 4 years, that festival, plus film festivals that cover television like Sundance, Tribeca, Dance with Film, and others. And when we deal with a TV festival, we like not only to preview the festival before it happens, but afterward showcase the winners of the TV series pilot competitions, all independents, all who are out to make their mark at some point in the world of television. Well, we're about to give you our latest group of winners of a TV festival. In this case, the annual Catalyst Festival taking place in Duluth, Minnesota. It's one of the biggest ones, and these people really are out to not only win these competitions, but also to turn their competition pilots into original television series. So let's meet them one at a time. And so let's hear from them. So let's get started. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hang on 1 second. There we go. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name? Hello. All right. Hold on 1 second.
You're talking to me? You're talking to me?
Okay, you're on. What's your name? Hang on for a sec. Let's get that person back up. I believe that's Hans, if I'm correct. Hans Abma, is that you?
You're talking to me.
Yes. Hi, Hans. Welcome in. And where are you calling from? What city?
California.
Great. Well, we're delighted to have you. And you're one of the big winners at Catalyst with a pilot that won the Best Drama Series and a bunch of other awards called The Question of Service. So hang on, and we'll get back to you shortly. And let's meet our next Catalyst pilot winner. What's your name? Go ahead.
So, hi, I don't know who you're referring to, but this is Sophia from representing.
Yes, hi, Sophia. Welcome in. And you're joining us from Brooklyn, NYC. And you did a pilot called Sugar Baby. So welcome aboard. Let's see who else has joined us. Hello, you're on the air. And who's this?
Hello?
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm new to this, and I have no idea how to do this. So, can you tell me, how I do this?
Well, you're on the air right now. What's your name?
Name is Jake Ortiz.
Jake, welcome. Are you one of the Catalyst winners?
Catalyst winners. I was actually here to, ask questions.
You want to ask a question to one of our guests. Okay, hold on for 1 second. Let's, first of all, talk to our guests and then to Hans and to Sophia. And we are expecting other people as well. And as soon as we get them, we will put them on the line. So, Hans, we'll start with you. Talk about a question of service. This was one of the big winners at Catalyst this fall.
I'm a winner? I didn't even know I won something.
I'm sorry. Go ahead and talk. You're on.
I didn't know that I won something. I was actually just coming here to ask a few questions.
Oh, you were also going to ask a question. Okay, hold on for 1 second. Sophia, let's get right to you and Sugar Baby. Talk about your pilot.
Hi. How are you doing?
sorry, what's your specific question about my pilot? And also, we've got Rebecca on the
talk about what the pilot's all about and how long did it take to make it.
Sure. Rebecca, are you on with me?
Yes, hi. My name's Rebecca. I'm the co-creator, along with Sophia, of Sugar Baby.
And you're calling us, by the way, from San Francisco, so welcome in.
Thank you. Rebecca and I, we made Sugar Baby. We came up with the idea of Sugar Baby back in 2018. We were best friends from college, and we came up with the idea while we were sitting in traffic. We thought we had, you know, we have a similar sense of humor, and we thought we could talk a bit about the struggles of, you know, post-graduating and specifically financially and after paying off a bunch of student loans, how tough it can be on, you know, students in general post-graduation, but also specifically women in this circumstance. Rebecca, do you have anything to add to that?
So we started writing the show in 2018, and we filmed our pilot in 2020, and we just filmed two episodes in the summer of 2021. So all three episodes of ours went to Catalyst, and
All right. So Jake, if you're on, go ahead and ask your question.
Okay. This for the cast for My Little Pony, correct? Or did I already miss it?
Well, you've got right now we have Sophia and Rebecca from Sugar Babies. We are still awaiting Hans Abner, who did the drama pilot, A Question of Service. And we're also waiting for Grace Nigg, by the way, also to join us, who did a pilot that also involves an organization called Edutainment, which showed up at Catalyst for the first time. So go right ahead and ask your question.
Okay. Here's a question. How have you guys been with this new series?
What do you mean, how have we been?
You said like this TV show called Sugar Baby, am I correct?
Yes.
How's it going? How do you feel about it? Is it going well?
About putting it together and its potential as a series.
Yeah.
I mean, we feel good. When we won, you know, Outstanding Comedy Series and Best Comedy Performance with our lead actor, Keely Bokicio Sipos, it was a really amazing feeling. It was nice to be honored in that way and recognized, specifically since Catalyst honors the TV world. So it's amazing that Catalyst even has a, you know, institute where we can uplift TV content, because a lot of festivals, and Catalyst isn't really a film festival, but a lot of festivals are honoring a lot of narrative, but specifically short film content or feature film content. So it felt really good. And since then, we've been marketing our show and trying to pitch it to studios or potentially showrunners who want to take it on. So yeah, it's been going well.
Wow. That's a really good feeling.
Yeah, it's great.
Jake, thank you very much for your question. We really appreciate it. Have yourself a great, great weekend, a super holiday season.
All right. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Jake joining us live on Tomorrow Be Televised. Rebecca, what was the toughest part between you and Sophia about putting this together? Go ahead, Rebecca.
Rebecca, is she
Rebecca,
there?
Rebecca, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Is she there?
Yes, go ahead.
Is Rebecca there?
Hello?
Okay. Rebecca, yes. Can you
go ahead,
help?
Rebecca.
Yeah, I think probably the hardest part was just in our budget. We had a super, super low budget and a pretty ambitious script. We had a ton of actors in a ton of different locations. So we had to get pretty scrappy with it, just, you know, pulling favors and shooting in friends' apartments and casting our family members and all this, just trying to do the most we could with the little that we had.
We are speaking with Rebecca Dearden and with Sophia Conger. They are the co-producers of Sugar Babies, one of the award-winning pilots at the Catalyst TV Festival that took place in Duluth, Minnesota earlier this fall. And we are still expecting at least two of the other pilot winners, Grace Nigg and Hans Obner, to join us. So Grace and Hans, if you can hear us, give us a call right now, 646-652-2906. And for those of you out there as well, we'd like to hear from you too. Use that same phone number to pop a question or give us some feedback for our guests from the Catalyst TV Festival. Simon Albon with you live from Nueva York this half hour, our final half hour of this 90-minute edition of Tomorrow Be Televised, coming to you this Friday afternoon. By the way, to those of you celebrating Hanukkah this weekend, we wish you a very happy start of your holiday. And, of course, pre-Christmas weekend, too. So all the very best to all of our listeners, whichever holiday you celebrate, Christmas, Kwanzaa, and, of course, Hanukkah. And remember, we want to hear from you, so give us that call or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And it's in our homepage, blogofradio.com/televised. Don't forget, coming up on Monday, another 90-minute edition for you, the top TV critic from Media Village, Ed Martin, will join us. He's already come out this week with his top 25 shows of the year, and he'll talk about that and more. Plus, from the new Hulu original movie, Darby and the Dead, about a woman who has a near-death experience, and from it, she not only is able to see ghosts, he plays Dr. Phil to them. Adam Saunders, the producer of the film, he will join us as well. It's all coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Excuse me. Sophia, how many categories did you win at Catalyst this fall?
We won Best Comedic Series and Best Comedic Performance. We won two for our overall series, not just our pilot.
And where did you produce your pilot? What area did you came from Brooklyn? Did you do it here in New York? Did you do it around the country? What was your game plan?
Yeah, we it's all New York based. We're really proud of that. We hope it feels like a New York show. We shot it in Staten Island, Brooklyn, Manhattan, and we did sneak into Jersey at one point for a few scenes. But yeah, it's a pretty New York show. A lot of it was also filmed here in Bushwick, specifically where I live.
Okay. All right. I believe we have another guest or we have a question coming in. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name?
Is it still?
Hello, you're on the air.
Wait, I'm still here?
Yes, I guess so. Jake, is that you again?
Huh. Yes, this is me again. Apparently, I'm still here. I'm the only one here.
All righty. By the way, if you want to have another question, go at it. Right ahead.
I don't know if Rebecca – no, not Rebecca, sorry. I mean, Jenna Warren will come – hold on, sorry.
Jake, say it one more time. For some reason, your line got a little fuzzy. Okay, I apologize. And while Jake is trying to get back with us with that question, we apologize for the technical breakdown. Rebecca, what was the most unique aspect about doing this pilot all over New York City?
I think it just made the show a lot more authentic. You know, the show was very run and gun, like I mentioned, with the low budget. And, you know, we're just kind of running around on the streets shooting things. And, like, we shot a scene on the Staten Island Ferry, like, just all over. And, you know, because a lot of our – I'm originally from the East Coast, and Sophie's based there now, and a lot of our friends and family and community is there. So it was great to be able to use our community as locations and extras and resources. And yeah, I mean, we shot the show with just a lot of our super close friends, and I think it made it super fun.
Mm-hmm.
And did both of you and Sophia, sort of switch all sorts of roles, producer, director, cinematographer, do the lights, do the sound, work all sorts of things? Find the product, find the facilities to film or tape the episode, casting the whole 10 yards.
Sophia and I co-wrote it together, and we also co-directed it and produced it. Episodes 2 and 3 are lead actress, Keely Bukikiosipos, also helped us produce it. But, yeah, I mean, Sophia worked really well together. We had our friend Jordan Gaddy, who's amazing, was our cinematographer. And, we had some help, but.
Mm-hmm. And, Sophia, how about your side of the experience, playing Jack of all trades here with Rebecca?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good question. A lot of people say that, you know, doing a duo director thing doesn't work, but in our case, we found it to be really amazing, because when you have such a scrappy budget and you're making an indie, you know, TV show, it's really nice to be able to divide and conquer. And so there would be moments where I would work with the actors and Rebecca would be working with Jordan, our cinematographer, to set up for the succeeding shot, or vice versa. And so it was really nice to be able to, when you trust someone, you have a partner that you trust really, really well, and you know that they have the same sense of humor, same end goal as you, it feels really nice to be able to divvy up the responsibilities. And I really do think at the end of the day, that's how we were able to make 3 20-minute long episodes that feel relatively more or less professional and within the span of a year and a half. I mean, we pumped out a lot of content for very little money within a short period of time. And I think that takes 2 people who are really dedicated and passionate about the subject matter and about telling the story.
So to be very clear, it wasn't just one episode you shot the pilot. You actually shot 3 pilot episodes.
Exactly. Well, not 3 pilot episodes, but 3 episodes, yeah. We shot a pilot, and then once we saw that was super well received, we were just still pretty infatuated with the idea that we had come up with. We do have a whole plan for the entire season, the first season, have episodes mapped out. So we were like, well, we've already done all this, you know, work. Let's see what else we can make out of this. And so we shot episodes 2 and 3, and we crowdfunded in order to finance those.
Rebecca, before I go back to you, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sophia. I interrupted you.
No, not at all. I was just going to say we have a pilot episode 2 and episode 3.
Yeah. Rebecca, before I go back to you, I just want to say again to our other guests we expected to be on today's segment, Grace Nigg and Hans Abner. If you're hearing us, give us a call, 646-652-2906. As soon as I see you're ready to go on the air, we will get you on the air. Rebecca, I'll start with this with you. We had Philip Gilpin, the head of the Catalyst Festival, on before the event. They were expecting something like 100-plus pilots to be showcased there. What was it like, first you, Rebecca, then Sophia, what was it like to be at the festival? What was the experience like for you?
We had a blast. It was actually our first festival. We've gotten into another one, but that was our first one we attended and screened in person at. And it was really inspiring to see so much other amazing work. And it's also nerve-wracking because that was our first screening to strangers. You know, we had done a private screening to friends and family and sent them around to mutual connections. But, it was a little nerve-wracking to screen it for the first time in front of people that didn't know what it was about, didn't know anything about us. But overall, I think it was really well received, and it was an honor to be screened against like so many other amazing pilots and shows.
Mm-hmm. Before we go to you, Sophia, I want to welcome Makaka into our chat room. He says hello, and if you have a question or comment, Makaka, put it in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. Okay, go ahead, Sophia. The Catalyst experience for you, what did you expect? What was unexpected for you?
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much echo a lot of what Rebecca said. It was an amazing time. They did a really beautiful job curating the program and the ending ceremony when they honored a lot of the people who had received awards. It was really well done, and I think we felt very pampered throughout the experience.
Mm-hmm. Now, also at the festival was a company called Edutainment, whose proprietor, Genevieve Theis, was on our show twice this year, once post-festival as well. And their idea was to work with some of the pilots, like the pilot you did, Sugar Babies, to turn them into series with equity crowdfunding or crowdfunding or using blockchain or NFTs and so forth. Has Sugar Babies decided to go that route with Edutainment to get your series on somewhere?
We have not. We entertained the idea, but ultimately I think we're looking to go a different route. But yeah, that was we had heard about entertainment when we were at the festival and think it sounds incredible.
Yeah. And we understand from Genevieve since the festival that quite a few pilot makers, not just Catalyst participants, are interested in using their service to get on. And we're following, obviously, what they're doing. And as soon as we find out where they're going to be ending up, that would be great. Rebecca, with you and Sophia, what is the future of Sugar Babies? Have you heard from whether it's a programming service like Netflix or Apple TV Plus or Disney Plus or whatever to are they getting interest? Are you getting interest from a production company to develop the show? Where does the show stand in terms of reaching viewers?
Yeah, well, we kind of just started our festival run with Catalyst, and we're waiting to hear back from a few more. And otherwise, just, you know, a lot of networking and shopping it around and trying to maybe attach a producer to it or a production company or so forth. And we're pretty open to just, you know, meeting people and picking their brain about what the best route is for us. And we hope that we can make more. I mean, we have the whole season mapped out and you know, it's a labor of love and a big passion for both of us, and we'd love to continue doing it.
Mm-hmm. Makaka in our chat room has an interesting question for both of you, and it deals with the possibility of people who see the show or fans making special animations that are inspired by the show. Have either of you received any of these fan animations based on Sugar Babies? And if so, what's been the reaction?
Fan animations? I don't think we've received any fan animations. Have we, Rebecca?
I don't think we haven't really gotten too much fan mail.
We've never had a question like this. Makaka, thank you for sending it. We've never had a question like this where we were asked about whether, like, people who catch a pilot or catch a series decide we're going to do an animated sequence, maybe for Instagram or Facebook or social media, that shares their love for the show, or maybe some how it inspires them, that kind of thing.
That would be amazing.
Well, if you have one, send it along.
Yeah, if this person who wrote this in the chat wants to animate a sequence for Sugar Baby, we would be ecstatic.
All right, Makaka, up to you. Thanks for posing the question. We really appreciate it. And still not too late. We have a couple more minutes with our guests. So you can give them a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name, as Makaka just did. See, when you use the chat room, we get interactive with you. For both of you, to sort of wrap things up, what do you hope Catalyst will do in the coming year to expand its presence and maybe to encourage more of the pilots that participate in the festival to become series? Anything you think Catalyst could do in the future that might, you know, continue to bring out the next generation of TV makers like yourselves?
I think they're doing a really good job. Like Sophia mentioned earlier, there's not a ton of festivals that are catered towards television, so it's nice to have this outlet. And you know, there have been some good opportunities for us since winning, like coming onto this podcast, or we're getting a consultation for our pitch, like learning how to pitch, and that's a really helpful asset. So, I would encourage anyone who's in this, you know, making a pilot, wants to make a pilot, to definitely apply it to the festival.
Yeah, there was also some really cool experiences at Catalyst where, like, Tina Fey zoomed in, David Letterman did talk. You can tell that even though it's in Duluth, Minnesota, the people at the festival are very well connected. They're bringing in people who know TV, they know their stuff, and I hope the Catalyst just keeps growing and growing, and because Duluth has a lot of potential to be an awesome city to host if the festival continues to grow even bigger, you know, audiences. It's a great place.
And before we leave you, one of the things that Philip Gilpin, when he was on the program pre-festival, told us is that Catalyst is becoming more of a year-round organization. They will be doing events around the country in 2023, including events here in New York and other spots as well. So that's really great to hear. And, of course, as I said before, we will keep you posted on edutainment, and they are working with both Catalyst participants and other TV series pilot makers to get them on the air. And, of course, if Sugar Babies does find a home on a service somewhere, we will let you know post-haste. In the meantime, if you want to find out more about all of the winners of the Catalyst TV Festival, took place earlier this fall in Duluth, Minnesota, and what Catalyst is up to, here's where you go online, www.catalyststories.org. That's www.catalyststories.org. And I'll tell you what we will do. We will find out why our other guests, Grace and Hans, could not be on today, and we'll invite them to come on one of our episodes next week, either next Monday, Thursday, or Friday, and we'll keep you posted on all of that. Rebecca Dearden and Sophia Conger, the co-producers of Sugar Babies, one of the big winners at this year's Catalyst Festival. Thank you both for coming on. Congratulations on your wins. All the very best in becoming a series. We'd love to have you back on when it does. In the meantime, have a wonderful, to you and all the Catalyst participants, have a wonderful holiday season and all the greatest in 2023.
Thank you
so much for having us.
Yes, thank you.
You're very, very welcome, Rebecca and Sophia. Take care. All the greatest.
Bye-bye. You too.
Rebecca joining us live from San Francisco and Sophia joining us live from Brooklyn, New York. Monday on Tomorrow We Televised, first of our three episodes this Sweet Christmas week, we will have Ed Martin, one of the top TV critics in the country from Media Village. He's also involved in the Critics' Choice Association and the producer of the new Hulu original movie, Darby and the Dead, Adam Saunders. And we hope to have another guest as well. And again, we'll be with you Monday, Thursday, and Friday at this time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. If you came in late on today's episode, you want to catch up an episode you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out our podcast, available 24/7 the rest of today and this weekend at the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Acast, Apple Podcast, Apple TV, and many, many more great podcast locations. We'd love to hear from you. What do you think about our show today? What's your thoughts about the current and future of television, kids in and otherwise? Well, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. However you get involved with us, we get back involved with you within 24 hours because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed are those of the participants. They are not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio or other services program. Andy Cho is Beat Charge General Manager. Dave Sonnenberg is Head of Content. But tomorrow we televised. I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful weekend ahead. If you're marking Hanukkah to all our Jewish listeners, have a great start to your Hanukkah season. And also, everybody, have a great start to your pre-Christmas week. We'll be back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio, all of our podcast affiliates, and our website, tomorrowbetelevised.onpodium.com. Whatever you're up to between now and Monday, please make it safe. And, of course, make it the greatest you can. Until the next time. Stay well and stay tuned.